Welcome back. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. That was Great Moments in Vinyl doing the Rolling Stones song Sway, which is one of my favorite Stones songs of all time. And, you know, Great Moments in Vinyl, Lindsey Cochran is the leader of Great Moments in Vinyl. It's this great concert experience where you can see the band salute another artist. And then there's great stories to be told between songs. And they're going to be paying tribute to the Rolling Stones this Saturday, December 2nd at Martyrs, 3855 North Lincoln Avenue. The show starts at 9, doors open at 8. And we want to talk a little bit about the Stones, and we want to talk about Great Moments in Vinyl, and we want to talk to Lindsey Cochran. Hey, Lindsey, how are you?
Good morning. So good to be on your show.
Good morning. Thanks. And, man, I love that song. That's one of my, Sway is one of my very favorite Stone songs.
Well, here, I got to hit you with a story right off the bat. One thing I forgot to mention to your producer, Dan, is that we've got Frankie Lee to join us with the storytelling for
That's this, great, man. I love Frankie Lee, man. He's the best.
And he has a story about that song, and I'll let him tell it at the gig. But basically, it's about the fact that the Rolling Stones themselves love that song. It was, I guess there was an internet poll where each member of the band was asked to pick their favorite Stone song, and Sway turned up number 2 or number 1 by each member in the band.
That's amazing. Wow.
Great tune.
I feel like I have good taste.
Yes.
Tell Lindsey, welcome back, and tell everybody, for those who might not know, tell everybody about Great Moments in Vinyl.
What we are is a bunch of music fans, basically. You know how music fans love to get together and talk about their favorite band, tell some stories, swap stories, and that sort of thing. But we don't just talk. We play the songs as well. So we pick a couple of albums, play them front to back, and then insert some stories about them, like that song, that story about Sway, or some story about how Mick Jagger did this or that, or Keith Richards did this or that. So you come away feeling like you know a little more about the band, spent some time with your favorite band and some of the favorite music from that band.
And not only that, but you get a lineup of some of the best musicians in Chicago, and you can handpick from an amazing amount of talent in this city, particularly from the Old Town School of Folk. Who's in the gig this time?
I feel so very fortunate. Oh, well, Phil Angotti, who's done some Rolling Stone shows with us before, he's noted for his Beatles shows around town. As a matter of fact, he and I have talked about doing a Doors tribute in the new year.
Ooh.
But Phil's going to be singing lead along with Rachel Drew, doing a lot of the Keith Richards parts.
By the way, two people who are great friends to this show. They've been on many, many times.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know what Rachel can do. We had a rehearsal about a week or so ago, and she was saying, you know, I've got 9 gigs between now and the end of the year. So one of the hardest working women show.
There's no question about it. I follow her on Facebook, and she posts all her gigs and stuff. And it seems like my news feed gets filled up with all Rachel Drew, which is fine with me.
That can happen. She's quite good on social media. I've got things to learn from her about that. Richard Pettengill, whom you've met before on these interviews, he's going to be playing guitar for us. Richard, the fellow who is at Woodstock and has written a book about it, and apparently is talking to a couple of publishers.
Is that right?
Might actually come to fruition.
Good for him, man.
You'll definitely be hearing from him when that comes through.
That's great.
Also in the band, Alton Smith, who you've heard met before.
Yeah, I was going to say, so far everybody has been on my show.
There you go. But he plays piano. He's got an Elton John gig he's going to be doing in the new year. So I'm excited for him. We've got Benji Scheffler, a young man who's was on your show before.
Yep.
Still in his 20s, but just plays amazing on the drums. I mean, here I've named a bunch of very good people in the band, but a lot of times these shows, when Benji's in the band, when I introduce him from the stage, he gets the loudest applause.
Mm.
It's just very cool to see that. Then we've also got fine horn section. Marty Gierzik on sax and Jeff Schweitzer. Couldn't get my usual sax player, but I have other people I could draw on. And between those two guys, we got the horn section covered.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, and WGN's own Bob Kessler on harmonica.
Outstanding. Good old Bob Kessler. That guy can play the harp, man.
We could not do the Stones without having some harmonica in it, so there you go.
That's outstanding. Great lineup. And Frankie Lee is going to be there.
You know, Frank loves the Stones. And a couple of years ago, it just dawned on me to ask him, you know, would you want to be in on this? Because I was working at XRT at the time. Under the name Bill Cochran, I do a lot of, or have done a lot of voiceover stuff in town and production and that sort of thing. I was working at XRT. And so Frank, I saw him every day or so, and he knew about the band. And occasionally he would mention it when we had a gig coming up. And I just asked him about it, and he said, yeah, I'd love to do that. And he's written some great stories himself, and enjoys being up there on the stand and works with the audience. So I love the extra publicity, so we got Frankie in on this once again.
That's great, man. So that's this Saturday, the Rolling Stones, and the song, the albums that you're going to do are Sticky Fingers and Some Girls.
Absolutely. We're following Krampus Fest at Martyrs, apparently. It's an afternoon-long event.
Is that right?
So you know what song we got to open up with.
Mm.
You know, because Krampus, the European...
Like evil Santa Claus.
Yes, yeah, the evil twin of Santa Claus.
Right.
Well, so we got to open up with Symphony for the Devil.
There you go. That's great. So that's this Saturday, the 2nd, at Martyrs, and it's a 9 o'clock start, and the doors open. Now, all this stuff that we've been talking about, that's not enough incentive for people to come to this gig. I understand you have a list of reasons why people should come out to Martyrs on Saturday to see the Stones.
Sure, here we go. Top 10 things I learned about the Rolling Stones and reasons you should come see the show. Reason number 10, the Rolling Stones are lucky that they survived. So I've been researching stories to tell for the show. I came across a British newspaper article about Prince Rupert Lowenstein. He's a merchant banker in Britain who saved the Rolling Stones from ruin. You know, like countless other rock bands, the Stones made some ill-considered business decisions when they were just starting out. They signed contracts, they entered into agreements that meant that even though they had top 10 singles, and even though they were international stars, they were virtually broke. We're talking back in the 1960s. Mm. In 68, Prince Rupert went to meet Mick Jagger in his home in Chelsea, an affluent part of London. Rupert was shocked to walk inside and discover that there was no furniture, because Jagger couldn't afford any. So Prince Rupert took the reins to restructure the band's financial dealings and line up major tours and tour sponsors and promotional opportunities. The Stones, they were the first band to do product endorsements. And he basically put them securely in the black. 1978, Rolling Stone magazine asked, will there be a Rolling Stones in 81 or 84? And Prince Rupert replied, oh yes, indeed, into 1987 and 1991 and on and on. That's
boy,
what a good job he did.
Well, I was going to say, but boy, was he right. They're still touring.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right, next.
Why were the Stones hanging with a merchant banker? Well, apparently this guy was something of a renegade on the British equivalent of Wall Street himself.
Oh, I see.
He was a risk taker and an outsider back in the 60s, too.
So. All right, cool. All right, next reason.
Drugs are bad. This may seem contradictory to the lifestyle espoused by certain members of the Rolling Stones. Mick Jagger himself on one occasion expressed the opinion that it helps if you're all taking drugs, all the same drugs. But no less an authority than Keith Richards has weighed in on this on his memoir Life with the statement that most junkies become idiots. It's really what finally turned me around, he says. We've only got one subject in mind, which is where to get more dope. I love the stuff, but enough was enough. The life of being a junkie is not recommended to anybody. I was on the top end, and that was pretty low. It's certainly not the road to musical genius or anything else.
Yeah, that's a great book, by the way. I've read
it. It is.
It's a great book. Okay, next reason.
The truth about the story of Keith Richards having a complete blood transfusion. This one is straight from Keith's memoir, Life, so maybe you have to take it with a grain of sand. A grain of salt. No, I mean a grain of cocaine. Anyway... But the man himself says that that story about the blood transfusion is not true. The story that I went to Switzerland to get my blood changed, perhaps the one thing that everyone seems to know about me, says Keith Richards, I never changed it. That story comes from the fact that when I was going to Switzerland to the rehab clinic to clean up, I had to land at Heathrow and change planes, and there was the press following me around. Hey, Keith. I said, look. Shut the F up. I'm going to have me blood changed. I got on my plane. After that, it's like it's in the Bible or something. I just said it to fob them off, and the story's been there ever since. And, you know, he saw no reason to change it. Repressed.
Good old Keith, man. Okay, next.
The band really did like sitting on great music for years and years. Recording engineer Chris Kimsey tells the tale of a song that was recorded during the Some Girls sessions, but didn't see the light of day until years later. Well, you all know the song. Well, starts off with that song. It took 10 days in the studio to complete the song Miss You, and when it was done, the Rolling Stones went right to work on another tune. It was a reggae number that they had first recorded 3 years earlier while auditioning replacements for Mick Taylor for their record Black and Blue. Two songs from those actual sessions eventually surfaced on the band's Tattoo You album. But this tune I'm talking about, the one with the island beat, didn't feel finished yet. So after wrapping up Mick's disco song, Miss You, Keith pulled out that old reggae number and turned it into a rock tune. Maybe he wanted to cleanse his palate. Chris Kimsey, the engineer, says it didn't take long to get it down. When we got the take that everyone felt, oh, that was good, Keith came in and listened to it and said, it's all right. Sounds like something I've heard on the radio. It should be a reggae song. Just wipe it. And that would have been that, except for the fact that Chris Kimsey tucked it out of the way. And then when Jagger and Richards started rounding up their previous throwaways to compile the album Tattoo You 3 years down the road, wouldn't you know it, the biggest track on that record was that song, Start Me Up.
You know, the story of Tattoo You is so crazy.
It's all those cast-off songs from over the years.
It's incredible. And how that album was just dominant in the early 80s. I mean, just incredible.
What were they smoking?
Okay, next.
Top 10 things I learned about the Rolling Stones and why you should come to the show. Number 6 we got here. The Rolling Stones are lucky that they survived part 2. The Stones had gone to Canada to record their performances in a Toronto nightclub to capture the spirit of their beginning days as a band. But the Canadian police discovered enough heroin in Keith's hotel room to charge him with not just possession of drugs, but trafficking. As Mick once told an interviewer, he had so much heroin on him, it was like an industrial amount. You're automatically down for trafficking, so the onus is on you to prove that that's not what you're doing. Just another drug bust for the world's most infamous rock star, right? But actually, this one threatened to catch up with Keith and scuttle the band. There was talk of serious jail time, meted out in not just months, but possibly years. Said Mick, I don't know whether I thought there would be another Stones album. And would the Stones tour without Keith if he went to jail? Yeah, I should say so, says Mick. Obviously, we wouldn't if Keith was only in jail for a month or two. But if he was in jail for a long period of time, I suppose we'd have to. But we can't wait 5 years. In 5 years, we won't be touring at all. Not much, anyway, just playing a few lounges.
Okay, next.
If there's one thing you can count on with Keith Richards, it's that he knows how to shock. Keith himself told us in his memoir, Life, that he was playing to the crowd with his bad boy ways. People love that image, he wrote, or like more likely he dictated that. But anyway, they imagined me, they made me, the folks out there created this folk hero, bless their hearts, and I'll do the best I can to fulfill their needs. But I love how Rolling Stone magazine summed up the man in 2002. After decades of drugs, sex, arrests, and legendary insanity, the only way left for Keith Richards to truly shock people was to settle down. And in 1991, that's exactly what he did, moving with his wife Patty and their two young daughters from Manhattan to the leafy suburbs of Weston, Connecticut. I'd get up at 7 in the morning, he said. I read a lot, might have a little sail around Long Island Sound if the weather is right. I do a lot of recording in my basement, wander about the house, I wait for the maids to clean the kitchen, and I mess it all up again and do some frying. Patty and I go out once a week if there's something on in the town, take the old lady out for dinner, bring a bunch of flowers, and get the rewards.
Good old Keith, man. Great stuff. And you have more stories, but people have to come on Saturday to hear them.
Absolutely. We got some great songs to play, too.
That's great. And by the way, as people can tell, those two clips that we played, that was Great Moments in Vinyl. It wasn't the Stones. That was Great Moments in Vinyl. That's absolutely how good they sound.
That's from our Wire gig that we played a little while back. So
great stuff, man. And it's this Saturday, the Rolling Stones tribute at Martyrs. The show starts at 9, and the doors open at 8. You can check out greatmomentsinvinyl.com for more info, and we have a link on our Facebook page. Lindsay, always a pleasure, and I will speak to you the next time you guys have a gig.
Absolutely. We've got the Jimi Hendrix show coming up in January. I'd love to chat with you about that.
Yes, we'll see you then for sure. Thanks,
take
Lindsay.
Care.
Have a great gig.
Happy holidays.
Take care, buddy. There you go. Lindsay Cochran of the Great Moments in Vinyl. Just an incredible group of talented musicians playing the hell out of great songs and telling great stories in between. So check it out. It's this Saturday, Rolling Stones tribute at Martyrs, 3855 North Lincoln Avenue. All right, we got to take a break here. We got weather and traffic, and I've got the weather for you right now.